And you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Gospel of John, chapter 21. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we have opened thy love letter, thy word, and Spirit of God, you have to help us that we might have the benefit, we might have the advantage of understanding, that we might exercise our understanding and profit thereby. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we've reached chapter 21. And 21, the Spirit of God, John adds 21, as it were, the last chapter to be written. And in the process, 21 helps us to understand the necessity of God, the Holy Spirit's awesome ministry, and how it pertains in the outworking of God's redemptive program. Now, God has made it possible to all of it happen by the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That is, Christ provided a wonderful solution for human sin that hadn't even taken place. Christ would die on the cross to pay the penalty, the price, to save us who were lost. Now, God did all of that before. And so here it shows, you know, in chapter 21, we need to understand the Spirit of God's ministry. Christ is resurrected from the grave. The disciples, the apostles, have witnessed his wonderful resurrection. They are witnessing his resurrection. And in the process, looking, what are we looking for? We're looking for that which God had said, John chapter 14 and 16, etc., that the Spirit of God had to come. In other words, God was going to go to the cross and die. And in order to have the benefit thereof, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry was to make it all possible. So we've got the part, Christ died, and he died and he rose again. Now, what's the interim? John chapter 21. And God is going to illustrate by using the chapter 21, Peter and John, etc., to help us understand the absolute necessity for the Spirit of God, already discussed and made clear, John chapter 13 through 17, already made clear. You have to understand the absolute necessity of it. Humans will not survive, will not succeed, can never produce apart from what God is going to do, Acts chapter 1. And in the process, God has to go, and the Spirit of God has to come in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so here we are looking in God, and God's going to go, and we share together that Peter is a dear human being like us, and he followed the Lord for 3 1/3 years, all the way, even his resurrection. But, Peter is still Peter after 3 1/3 years. Peter could never enjoy any of the wonderful truths that God made possible, because Peter was just going to trust himself, and he needed to be saved. He needed to have a unique relationship to God that had to be produced could only be produced because of Christ's death on the cross. That life had to happen, and it hadn't happened. So, point. If you and I had spent with them 3 1/3 years, say, oh, if I could have just been with them and learned like they did. Well, let's make believe you did. Now what? Here's Peter being example for us. All right, and we come all the way to the end, and where Christ has said he'd be crucified and rise again, and he's risen. And that becomes real. But, and that wouldn't have been wonderful to see his resurrection. Yes, it would. But Peter's still the same. The heart didn't change. Everything out here was happening, but not in here. It didn't happen in his heart. So without having it in his heart, he didn't have anything. He heard everything, said everything, but he didn't have it. So Peter, what are you doing, God? You're helping us. What? The absolute necessity of the Spirit of God to make possible all that Christ did on Calvary's cross. Otherwise, it's not real. So here's Peter, and here he is. And he said, we did that, verse 15, 16, 17, we did all that. And Peter loved, God's going to be a friend. He could not, did not enjoy the love that God had for him. God was loving him. God died on the cross because he loved him. God was loving him because God had a wonderful plan in saving him. Peter has to catch up. So all he can say is the word love from a friendship-wise, et cetera, as we shared together, two different words. And that's all he could say. And then he's going, and the Lord says straightway to him, as they're sitting on the beach, Peter, rise up, walk, follow me. That's singular to Peter. Here's John and James and Thomas and two disciples, but he didn't say it to them. He just said it to Peter. And Peter got up, and the Lord started walking, and Peter started walking. And we found out, as we shared together, verse 20, Peter turning around about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, was loving. John was with it. Peter isn't with it. John has to get it too, but John is ahead of Peter that way. John doesn't have any life either, but he knows that Christ does, and he's trusting him. So he doesn't have to be told to follow. James and Thomas don't have to be told to follow. They don't have to be told. The two disciples don't have to be told. That they got the message. They got the message. And they forget fishing. They had to get back on the path that they were supposed to. So here they are following. Peter turns around as we shared together verse 21. Peter seeing him, that's John, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Now, we shared all that together, and the Lord made a wonderful, wonderful promise that God was going to do a wonderful thing with Peter. He was going to have it, showed him his death. Peter was going to go and die on the cross, as we shared in verse 18 and 19. So Peter knows the journey ahead of him. That's what he knows. He knows Acts chapter 2, the church is born, and Peter's going to end up dying. Now, crucifixion. Now, so in the process of that, so our Lord's command, as we read in verse 19, present tense command, follow me. Follow me, follow me. And in verse 22, Jesus said unto Peter, after saying, what shall this man do? What about Peter? What about John? If I will, said the Lord, that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And then again the command, present tense, follow thou me. Peter, you need to follow me. Now, it's a command, follow. follow, to go on, to keep on on the path, to be following. And in the process, we share together that Peter and James and John, and you have to turn, well, you could turn there for the exercise, keep you awake, over if you can, Matthew chapter 4, just a moment. Matthew chapter 4. And they started out, and that's important to keep in mind as we're looking at it. And Peter, James, and John, and here, chapter 4, beginning of their ministry, their association. Chapter 4, verse 18, again. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He said, that's what they did as a living. And he said unto them, follow me, there's your little verb, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And, verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and, again, followed him. No explanation, no discussion, nothing. They dropped the net, fish or no fish. They didn't go home and say goodbye, Peter to his wife or something. He didn't do it. Nope, none of them did. And God gave him no explanation about anything. He just said, follow me and no more. And they followed him for 3 1/3 years, all the way to his resurrection. No question. There's no question. It was a privilege to be in his presence. There's no question. It doesn't do any good just to be in his presence. Because all you know is he has an awesome relationship to God, and we don't. He does. Now, having said that, follow. That's what they did for 3 1/3 years. So now, over to John chapter 12. And you'll recall, as we're following, we're going to follow. We're following. Now, John chapter 12, keeping in mind, encouragement, verse 26, 12, 26. If, and it may or may not be true, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And there, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So, we're to follow the Lord, and that's what they did. And the Lord reminds them to follow. That's what they're doing. Where do you want to find yourself? You want to find yourself as a servant, as a slave. You want to find yourself with the Lord, the Master. And you want to find yourself right with him. So God said to them, if you're going to serve me, you need to follow me. You need to be where I am. I'm going to take you somewhere. You want to have something, but you can't. Your life. You want a life. The truth, the awesome relationship that our Lord has. You can't have that without something happening. The Spirit of God, Christ has to die on the cross and make that possible. You've got to keep following me. Now, having said that, 1 Peter, Peter understood it. Peter got it. It took a little bit. Took Pentecost, actually, to get it. And in 1 Peter, and then chapter 2. 1 Peter 2, and maybe, if I can, in verse, you'll catch it in the light of everything, in verse 21 in the light of the context. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. What's the example? that we should follow his steps. We're going to follow him. Wherever I am, my servant is, you're going to follow me. That's what you're doing. Peter, and you've got to follow. What happened in Acts 21 after his resurrection? And they went to Galilee. They went back to their old life because they said, what's the sense? It's all over. It wasn't all over. They had to keep following. What did God do on the beach after all of that, chapter 21? He got them to what? Get up off the sand and follow me. I never said not to follow me. In fact, you remember we did all these things. When God sent them from Jerusalem to Galilee, he sent them there. He said he would meet them there. They were to go and meet him. He had been Jerusalem. They're going to meet him up in Galilee. But they went to Galilee, and as far as they were concerned, the thing was all a dream and a wonderful, wonderful experience, and nothing came out of it. We're the same fishermen, same fish, everything. Now, so leaving us an example, God, we're following. That's right. Go to Philippians, and Philippians in chapter 2. And you would recall, chapter 3 better. Philippians chapter 3, picking up if I can, here's Paul looking, and remember what he said. He had everything, just using it to tie it together, illustration, in verse 3. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So Peter, James, and John, all of them, they needed to get Acts chapter 2. They needed to get saved. They needed to have a wonderful relationship to God made possible by Christ's death on the cross. Verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if I want to trust myself, if any thereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, you want to trust in your credentials, your ability, your friendship, your contacts? No. I have plenty more than them. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching a law or a Pharisee. I got all the credentials. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. I mean, I really did everything. The church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. In other words, I did everything that fit being a Pharisee. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So I had all of that. But when it was all done, I had my education, I had my job, I had my money, I had my house, I had my food, I had my family, I had everything. But I have no life. I don't have a relationship to God. That's missing. That's called the state of death, the absence of life. God is life. So, Paul said, I have it all. Peter's finding it out. Peter, God has to give you something you don't have. God has to do something for you that you can't do. Here's Paul, verse 8, yea, countless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I count them as nothing. What good's it going to do? Make it easy to see. If you can imagine, maybe. Here, you've got 25 trophies for 7 different things that you did wonderful. And you've got education, you got this, and you got your job, you got your family, you got all of everything that you could ever want, and et cetera. And you have a cabinet post in Washington, and you got everything, what can I tell you? Now, when you're all done, and one moment, and yes, close your eyes, your heart stops beating. I don't care what you have in your hand or what you have anywhere. In one moment, that's all gone. All gone. Period. You can't touch it. But you were counting on it. You're counting on the wrong things. Because that event is coming, or the Lord's coming, hang on. Now, so Peter, that's my point here. Chapter 3, sliding over to verse 12. And I'm going to read verse 11 in the light of the context. We're talking about resurrection. If by any means, verse 11, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. In other words, I want to have Christ rose again from the grave. I want to have the life that he made possible by his resurrection. Christ died on the cross. What do you do when you, John 10, 9 and 10. How do you get saved? You believe in your heart. Not that he died, there's no question he died. You believe in your heart, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that God raised him from the dead. That's what you believe. Why? He's risen. That's what you believe. He died and took your place on the cross, and he rose again to give you what? A relationship that you don't have, that you need to have. So here's verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after. There's your little words. Follow after. What are you following after? If that I may obtain, apprehend, to lay hold of that for which also I am apprehended, laid hold of Christ Jesus. In other words, God saved me and God laid hold of me for the benefits. God gave them benefit. I'm reaching out, said Paul, I want all that God has made possible for my life. I want what I don't have and that God has freely given me. I want that for my life. I want to apprehend. I want to lay hold personally in my life. The resurrection, the life that I didn't have, couldn't have, apart from his death on the cross. I need that life. And Paul said, I am going to exercise it. Exercise it. How so? Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't got everything God has in mind. Remember, we shared all these things. Ephesians 2, 10 and that. Before you were ever created, God saw you and had you. All of you came out of Adam, so did us. All of us out of Adam. God had a wonderful plan. Everyone in Adam. That's why he died, to save them all. For what? He had a wonderful plan. Ephesians 2:10. The plan is to be outworked. So when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God is going to let it happen. God's going to make it possible. You're going to work, homeschool, you do whatever you do, and whatever. But all of that is done in the outworking of what? Your relationship to God. Your relationship to God is what's developing and growing and you're learning. And as you exercise that, that's what's happening. And you're doing everything. Use the same refrigerator. You do the same. But you're changing. God has given you something wonderful to exercise, to grow, to know. Now, having said that, verse 13, I count ought not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So I'm not looking back at yesterday. Whatever happened yesterday, good or bad, right or wrong, it's all over. No matter how you do it, you can't go and repeat 1 minute of yesterday. All those minutes are gone. You can't have them. All you can do is take the minute that's now in front of you and do it. Now, Paul said, I don't try to keep looking back at my life, what I could have been, what I could have had, or what I could be and not be, and all of those different things. I could do that. I'm not doing that. That's a waste of time. I lose. I worry about things that I don't need to worry about. I want things that I should have had, but I don't. No. I'm going to forget. Try to get one thing. I roll up my sleeves. You went to bed last night, maybe, and you got up. It's a brand new day. And no matter what happened, good or bad, right or wrong, much or little, you got a brand new day. Think of Lamentations. New every morning. You start again in God's faithfulness. You start again. Now, having said that, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm moving. What are you doing? I'm following. God has a wonderful plan for my life. I'm going and following God in his wonderful, wonderful grace. To what? And I'm going to enjoy the benefits. Am I safely going to follow? How sure is my following? Maybe he'll disappear. Maybe he'll stop leading me, helping me. Maybe I'll lose sight of him. John 10. And in John 10, you would recall that which you know. John 10, and in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. In other words, you go through the door, and you have all the benefits on the other side. You didn't have them on the other side. That you had to go through the door to have the benefit. You had to get saved in order to enjoy being saved. How are you going to be saved? You have to go through the door. You have to go through the door to be saved. And when you go through the door, you are going to be saved. How so? Sliding down, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they, what are they doing? Following me. That's right. I never told you to stop following. I never told you to stop change. You got a target. You're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and you keep your eye on him all the way till you drop dead. That's what you do. Morning, noon, and night, work, home, school, play, easy, hard, much, little. What are you doing? You keep your eye on the target. Remember John 12. Wherever I am, there my servant is. They follow me. What are you telling me, God? John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never, 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 never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Well, maybe. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then you know that wonderful little statement, verse 30, I and my Father are one. We're the same hand. The same hand. No one's going to take you. Who's going to take you? Who's going to take you out of the hand? Who could do it? You can't even do it. You can't even do it. Now, if you're saved, God isn't going to, what do you know from John 10, John 8, 6 and that? Of all that the Father giveth me, I will lose how much? Nothing, not one. I died for them. The dummy may not know it, but I died for them. That's what I did. And when they received me as my Savior, man, I own them. But they don't care. They may never have had a relationship. If they have a real relationship, they're mine. And no one can have them. That's wonderful. So in all of our stupidity and stubbornness, God doesn't back off from being who he is and what he does. That's wonderful. He isn't like us humans. Wow. Now, having said that, a little bit, thinking about those things. So God, you're going to go and bring us to Calvary's cross. That's what you're going to do. That's what Peter and James, Peter and John, Peter, that's what they got to understand. They're going to go. And again, in all of those places, he never gives you an explanation of why you should follow, etc. He just says, always follow. That's all. If you're smart enough, follow me. Follow me. When God, the only God and the only Savior, says, do it. Believe. You better believe. When the only God and the only Savior says, follow, I'm following. I'm following God. I don't know where it's going, but I'm following. Got it? Wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if I can, so you know, and believer, what's it going to say? Over to Galatians in chapter 2. These are wonderful, wonderful truths for the believing heart to exercise and experience. And in Galatians, and in chapter 2, you would pick up, if I can, in chapter 2, if I may, in verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the will, or in the will, in the faithfulness of the Spirit of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, the first part, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I have a whole new, how are you going to get that, Paul, Peter? You're going to have to get saved. You're going to have Acts chapter 2. That's what has to happen in God's wonderful way. God has to make it happen just so that you can enjoy all of God's wonderful, wonderful doing. So therefore, keeping that in mind, if I can, and we share together that Christ died on the cross and took us to the cross to die. And to see that in one simple statement, I need that locked in at the moment. First Peter, and Peter's going to tell us it, say it for us, I should say. And you will notice, if I can, 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter's going to learn. Peter's going to get it, his life's going to be different, no question. He's going to get saved, and the Spirit of God's going to do a wonderful thing in him, wonderful thing in his life. Now, here's 1 Peter chapter 2, what we're looking at is Christ's death on the cross, for me, for you. Verse 24. Who, his own self, chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, purpose that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. God gives us a whole new relationship because of his death on the cross. Now, I need to keep that in mind and understand that, if I can. Now, having said that, go over to John chapter 21. And it's John chapter 21. Peter said, chapter 21 and verse 3, I go fishing. Chapter 21, 15 through 17, I am his friend. I don't understand the love part, but I'm his friend. And God needed, we understood love. Peter needed to let God love him. When you let God love you, it changes your life. You're letting. What's it mean? God is love. And when we let God love us, what's he going to do? He's going to do all of his wonderful work, his saving grace, all that he has in mind, because that's what he's doing. We're letting God exercise himself in our heart, loving us, to produce his wonderful plan of why we were ever created in the first place. And God lets, we let that happen. And when they let that happen, we start enjoying being saved. We're thankful that we can be thankful and thoughtful. We're thankful. And what are we doing? We're ending up loving being loved. I want God to love me. I want to be loved, and I love being loved. I love what God's doing. We love 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you wouldn't. So Peter goes fishing. Peter is the friend. Peter is following. Peter is going to follow God's will with all of his heart. And so, like, remember Joshua in chapter 24? As for me and my house, he told his all Israel, they have all their lots, wonderful life, if they want to exercise it. And Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Whatever you guys want to do with your piece of property, with your freedom to live on, you have the same hours I have to exercise in every day, whether you want to exercise them with God or without God, it's up to you. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Peter, as for me and his heart, Peter's going to get there, and it's going to take Pentecost. As what are we doing? And by the way, just turn the page, maybe, Acts chapter 2. Peter's following our Lord. And they're going to follow him. Remember, our Lord showed himself back and forth for 40 days. And in the process, Acts chapter 2, and then they're waiting 10 days, etc. And picking up, please, in verse 4. And where's Peter going to be? And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. So here's John 13, 14, 15. What is the Spirit of God? Spirit of God's going to come. That's what you're waiting for. Verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in the Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts chapter 2, and the Spirit of God is going to come, and the church begins. God places them all wonderfully into the body of Christ in the fullness of his wonderful will and way. So God's going to make all of it's going to possible. So what are we doing? Peter, follow. Okay, where are you going to take me? Where are you taking me? Where are you? I'm going to be Peter. Think of being Peter. Where's God taking Peter? To what he told them, to the cross. Peter, follow me. And God, what are you going to do? There I am, Peter, standing back with the rest of us. And what are you doing, God? On Calvary's cross, he said, I'm taking your sins in my body on the tree and paying the price. You followed me to find yourself in me, in Christ, on Calvary's cross, and I died. I paid the penalty for your sin. You're free. If you follow me, you're going to find me on Calvary's cross in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, that's what God's going to do. So all of that is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and God's going to make it. So therefore, the breathing, what are we doing? Well, we need to be breathers. Breathe it. Breathe air. Take in air. That's what you do. Now, at what point so far today have you rejected breathing? Did I say that all right? So far, you've been living so long, walking around. At what point did you stop breathing? Did you say, I don't want to breathe anymore? I'm tired of breathing. I'm tired of breathing. Don't you breathe? Sure you do. Sure you do. You're breathing. In order to what? Why are you breathing? In order to live. How could you even move your hands, move your head, unless you're breathing? What are we going to do when we get saved? We need to be believing. Believing. Morning, noon, and night. We're believing. We're enjoying a wonderful relationship to God by the saving grace. Christ makes us new creatures in Christ, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It makes us. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So God, what am I doing? I'm believing. I go to work, I go to school, I go whatever I do, I take my pills, I sweat and worry about everything. Well, what am I to do? I'm to be believing. Believing, breathing for physical life, believing for spiritual life in a most wonderful, wonderful way. I'm going to be abiding like the branch in the vine. I'm going to abide in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. So here we are following. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, and he wants to know what's going to happen, John. Well, we won't do that yet. In fact, Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, and you will note, here's Paul, followed on the Damascus Road, Acts 9, all the way to the end. And on his journey, pick up in thought, Acts chapter 20, if I can. His journey was not an easy one. Verse 22. Chapter 20, verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Now, Peter, you're going to be crucified. Here's Paul on his journey. And he's going to go, and he doesn't know how it's going to go in Jerusalem. But, verse 23, say, what do you know, Paul? Say, except that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. In other words, I'm going to find difficulty in Jerusalem. Now, Peter's going to go to the cross and be crucified. Here's Paul, chapter 20, verse 24. But knowing this, Paul, knowing how the journey is going to go, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? So that I might finish my course with joy. I want to finish. Follow me all the way to the end. That's what I want. All the way. Peter, it's going to be crucifixion. Paul, Nero's going to take your head. Keep going. I'm going to follow. Now, and follow, finish my course of joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, having said that, then, if I can, Peter's going to have to finish. What's the whole point? Acts chapter 21, John 21. You have to get to the cross. Peter, you got to get to the cross. John, you got to get to the cross. You got to have Christ crucified and risen. And you have to have the result of that. The Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of God, it's his assignment to make real and right all that God has made possible by the death of his Son. Now, and Paul is, I got to finish. Peter is going to finish. He's going to finish. Now, go with me, please, quickly, over to over to Isaiah again. We were there the other day, but it'll fit again. because we're going to take heed. We're going to be run the race and walk by faith, by God, run and walk. And therefore, in chapter 40, you will note in verse 1, comfort ye, used twice, ye my people, with saith your God. In other words, in the midst of everything that's happening back then, Assyrian captivity and all of it, be of good cheer. Be comforted. How are we going to be comforted when everything looks like we haven't finished? Peter, you have to get crucified. Paul, you're going to lose your head. And it isn't, you didn't come yet. No, not yet. But, so here's Israel. And they're to be comforted, encouraged. Sliding over, if I be there. Over to chapter 40. We were there the other day. Verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Or will I be likened, saith the Holy One? In other words, there's no one like me. You got to trust me. Be comforted. Be encouraged. Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things, the stars, the galaxies by the trillion, that bringeth out their host. I know each star, let alone galaxy, by name. By number, but he calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power and faileth. Verse 27, why sayest thou, O Lord, speakest, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from thee, Lord, from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. In other words, God knows what's going on, and you got to trust him. Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? He doesn't faint. He doesn't fail, neither be weary. He's not weary, tired, toiling. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might, strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall... In other words, human energy has an end to it. Human ingenuity, human genius, human ability, it ends. When you're all done, we've created what? A better refrigerator, et cetera, et cetera. A better smartphone. When you're all done, what have you done? Now, verse 31. But they that wait, and we share together the word wait, to bind together, to tie together, to bring together. It's the making of a rope. Think of the rope, big thick rope we mentioned the other day, holding the ship in the dock, big thick rope. And boy, that rope is strong. That's right. And now if you just go, and God, what are we going to do? They that wait upon the Lord. God, you're strong, you're powerful, you're able to do. You don't get weary, you don't faint, you don't disappear. We're going to wrap ourselves around you. And it's just us. We don't make the rope strong. A little thread goes around the rope, a little twine around the rope. Our twine, our thread is nothing. It's the rope. What are we doing? We're wrapping ourselves around the rope so that as the ship tugs away, so the rope holds it, and our little rope enjoys the strength of the big rope. Now, they that wait upon the Lord, they that are waiting, intensive, they that are waiting upon the Lord shall renew, exchange, to change over, to twist, from trusting the little thread to trusting the big rope. That's what we're doing. We're instead of trusting ourselves, we're trusting God. And trusting God, what's it going to do? Well, it's going to change because it isn't my strength, it isn't my legs, it isn't my anything. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew, exchange their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hebrews 12, we're to run the race. What are we, and to walk by faith? How can we, God, what you telling him? Keep on running and keep on walking. Be motivated. Be moved. It's a wonderful thing. Roll up your sleeves, God said. I have a wonderful plan for your life. Your life. Everybody's life. But you got to stop with, draw a little circle and stand in it. It's your life. That's right. And God said, renew your strength. It's a wonderful thing. And you mount up with wings as eagles, as we shared, the wings of surrender and trust, and God takes us. I hope you got a little bit. Our Father and God, we thank you. We thank you that we can follow and follow, and God, you brought us right to Calvary's cross. That's how we start our journey. They had to find it, God. They had an advantage we didn't. We don't have. They had all that time. We don't have any time. We just discover, God, immediately and instantly, we can find your grace and find that you died on the cross to save us. And so, God, we can receive you as our Savior and Lord. And, God, we start the journey, a journey that brings us all the way in and because of you to the Father. And, our God, we thank you. You said you're the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to our Father except by you. So, God, here we are, and here we are looking to you. And, God, you have to help us. And, Spirit of God, underline, it's you. Spirit of God, it's your awesome ministry to bring forth the truth, the realities of life itself. Only you can do that, to make real all that Christ has made possible. His life in our life for your honor and for your glory. God, without you, it isn't going to happen. So thank you very, very, very much. Deal with our heads and hearts. Help us not, God, to spend years coming and going, thinking and reading, and never getting there. God, we only need to spend a minute, and in one moment, find ourselves in your grace and goodness. In me dwelleth no good thing, but God, you have made it possible to know and honor you immediately. Thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.